Amen. Boy, it is great to be in church this morning. Amen. Thank the Lord for His love, His mercy, His goodness. To be honest with y'all, as a preacher who stands before you, I got to keep reminding myself, I'm just part of something here at Drift Run. I'm just part of something that that Christ has created through His shed blood, the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm just able to be a part of this. I keep reminding myself to try not to be nervous, because I'm not up here to put a show on for y'all. I'm up here to share the gospel of Christ that we all need. I need as much as everybody needs. That is what this is all about. And going into the sermon this morning, I was talking about thinking about standing on His promises. I think about His promises, and the Christmas time is a real indication of His promise. Do you believe that? I'm asking you, and I need an answer. Do you believe that Jesus was born on this day this many years ago? That this is, we are celebrating the birth of Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Okay, so what you're saying is you believe in a promise that was made, and we've seen the promise fulfilled. So as we get into this, we'll get into more detail. And there's show after show after show about Christmas, and you see every angle why they celebrate Christmas. And I say they, and I hope you understand what I mean. Christians, what are we celebrating? Birth of Christ. What are non-Christians celebrating? All kinds of things. Well, he said, love and money. And they paint it all different kind of colors. They call it many different things. But every example will fall flat on the floor. Because if it's not about the truth, it's about what? If it's not true, it's false. Okay. Groundwork's laid. I hope everybody can... get what the Lord has laid on my heart. Starting out, standing on the promises. Now, I looked up the words to stand in the dictionary. To stand means to remain erect, not to cut down, not temporary, for regular or permanent use. That's to stand. That's something we consider would be solid, correct? Now, in the Greek, the word in the Strong's Concordance, in the Greek, the word means to abide. That should speak to a Christian heart, right? Abide. You know what abide means? To stand firm, to seek, to continue on. I'm going to stand right here while the world falls down around me, because I'm a Christian. I'm standing here on the name of Christ. I'm standing here on the promise that God gave to us that Jesus was coming, and He came. And I accepted that gospel of Christ. I'm abiding in that. That's stand in the Greek. Okay, in the dictionary, the word promise means an assurance given by one person to another that the former will or will not perform a specified act. Reasonable ground for hope or expectation of future excellence of satisfaction. Now we're looking at a worldly view of promises. And, I watch sports, and you can't help but see how many contracts are broken. And contract is a word, is a signed promise, so to speak. So I was thinking this morning, in my own respect, I have made a physical promise to be here this morning to fill in for Dave, but I could have failed that promise very easily. I could have been sick, or even just chose, I just don't want to do it today. That's a broken promise, okay? The Strong's promise in the Greek in the Strong's Concordance says, an announcement for information, assent, or pledge, a divine assurance of good, a message. So, from a Christian standpoint, how do you take a promise? Because where does Christians' promises come from? God. Does God ever break a promise? Can anyone in here say that God broke a promise to them? Can any of us in here say we broke a promise to God? Yes. Okay. So, in the Greek, in the way it's the wording is used in the New Testament, when you see the word promise, it is an announcement of information. It is God telling us something that is going to happen, something that is sure and true and will never change. I could tell you things from my perspective, and I might get it wrong. I could tell you, I promise you I'll be doing this next Thursday at this time. God, if God said that, it will happen. If I say that, there's so many variables that could occur before then that I can't make a promise like that. Just remember what we've talked about here so far. What does Christmas mean to the world? And we talked a lot about that. And when Rodney read that poem, when he told me he was going to read that today, I thought that'll just fit right in. Because that poem was from a worldly perspective. They were just sitting around. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. It's going to be the same as it's always been. La, 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 la. I always think about worldly living is, anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Probably several have. Seen pictures, whatever. And here's this big old river flowing down through there, and all at once it just drops off. Well, I always looked at living in a worldly perspective as just being a bobber. Just floating along, coming down, not a care in the world, not prepared for nothing, just going along with the world, and the next thing I know, I'm over a cliff. But now a Christian has a life jacket. A Christian is prepared. And that's because of what? Of a promise that God sent. Now, just to get going here, and I got scriptures to read, I promise. I just wrote some notes here about a Christian celebration is what Christmas means to you. Now, and like I said before, in a worldly celebration, there's all kinds of different angles. There's giving, taking, all the good ones, it's time for family and gathering together, and which it is, but they're just painting that as a picture. There is a singular singular angle that is for Christians to celebrate Christmas, and what is that? Christ, the birth of Christ. And it's not just the birth, it's the promise of the birth. It's the promise of what He's going to do when He's here. It's the promise of the gift that God gave us. So, how does God show His love for us? How does God show His love for us? His promises. His promises. His promises. And we're going to talk about promises here this morning. I'm going to start out in the scripture text reading out of Isaiah. I'm going to read chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. And if y'all would, we'll stand in honor of God's word. It's a right thing to do in reverence. We talked about a word this morning. Reverence means respect, in honor. Is God's word worthy for us to stand for? Yes, it is. Everything He does, if you're able to stand. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall call upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let us pray. Lord, again, we're bound here before you this morning, Lord, to thank you for your love and your mercy, to thank you that this is a day that you have made. We need to rejoice and be glad in it. We ask now, Lord, you guide and direct us here this morning as we have your word open before us. Open our hearts, Lord, to speak to them as only you can, not as Jamie does, but only as you can through your word, through your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, you be with our pastor this morning, Lord. We lift him up to you. We thank you, Lord, for his life and his ministry. And we just pray that you'll continue to bless his home and his family. I pray right now you'll be with those others that couldn't be here today for whatever reasons, Lord. We ask that you wrap your arms around them right now. Give them a feeling of peace and comfort. Show them that you're there. I ask, Lord, you be with those that didn't feel it was important to be here today. I ask for you just to wrap your loving arms around them, Lord, and encourage them as only you can, and help us to be an encouragement to others. I do ask again you forgive me. I ask for you to get me out of the way. And, Lord, I ask this all in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, I have other scriptures to read to go along with that, but I'm going to talk about a bit about a promise that was made in Isaiah. I'm going to read that text again. It says, "For unto us a child is born." Now, we know what child that is, correct? Everybody know that he's referring to Jesus. He's referring to the coming Messiah. He's referring to the one that's going to come and shed his blood to save us, to give us the opportunity to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Given. Given. It is a gift that is given. We didn't say, "God send us something." No, he gave it to us. He saw the need. He knew our need. And he sent us a son. And that's what God gave to us. His son. He gave his very best. He gave the only thing that would save us. His son. It says, his son is given. "And the government shall be upon his shoulders." He's going to carry all the burden. You know, a while back, I think it was in a Bible study, and I seen a line. No, it was in a song. And it says, talked about how Jesus took our sin. Now think about that. Now think about your own sin in your own life. You know, how heavy a burden that is, how it can drag you down. Now, he took up upon every one of our sins, and he bore them. He took them. He handled them. He was on the cross. But in the next sentence in that song was, he took the wrath of God also. Yeah, he carried our burden and took the wrath that we should have got. Now, that's twofold. You know, we really remember the burden of our sin that he took, but we got to remember the wrath of God that he took. And none of us could ever have stood the wrath of God. Only Jesus. So he took it all on his shoulders. As well as the, in that place... And, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." That is the kingdom. It says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful." Is he wonderful in your life today? Can you call him wonderful? Or do you say, "Oh, Jesus, oh, come on, give me a break." No, he's wonderful. He is. He's worthy of our praise. Counselor. Counselor. Think about counseling. What is counseling? That's advice. That's where you discuss an issue in your life. And he knows the answers. He's the only one that can give us the right answers. "The mighty God," which is God in the flesh, "the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." What a promise that is. Can you hang on to that promise and know that his way will never end and that this will. Oh, I look forward to that when I'm not consumed or caught up in this body that has these thoughts that keep jumping around, that this body keeps failing, it's sick, it's this, it gets old, it's that. I'm standing on the promises of Jesus this morning. Okay, so there's a statement of promise in the Old Testament to us all, right? That's talking about something that's coming, something that's going to occur. So let's go over to Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 35 says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now, what's going on here? We're talking about something that was told was going to happen back in Isaiah. And now we're up to date right here, right now. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That sound about like what was said in Isaiah? Okay, so she's getting told again. That one back there was for all of us, told us all. But the angels come to tell Mary herself. And now we can jump over to Luke chapter 2. And, you know, we've heard this many, many times. They call it the Christmas story. But I'm going to call it today the promise. The promise from Isaiah. The promise from God. The promise for which we can stand. All other promises come from this one. This promise. The promise of eternal life is nil without this promise. Okay? "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into their own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Now, just a note on that, in our Sunday school class, it talked about the root of Jesse, or the stem of Jesse. That is exactly what he's talking about right here. Jesse was David's father. Verse 5 says, "And to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, the reason I read those three is talking about a promise. It's going to happen. It happened. Now, think about it right now as we go forward. That's a promise that we know happened. Agreed?
Agreed.
We know that happened. We know Jesus was born. We know he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. So my point being is, we're going to talk about a lot of these other promises, is sometimes why can't we grasp all the other promises in the Word of God? Yeah, I catch myself saying, yeah, really? So let's talk about some of the other promises. Now, we don't have any problem accepting the promise that Christ was born, correct? I mean, look around. You know, we celebrate it because it's Christ's birth. The world celebrates it for whatever reasons, but it is because an event happened at some time in the past. Because they don't have celebrations for no reason. Correct? So let's jump back here. I got some. Let's talk about some other promises to believers. And I've been guilty of this one many, many times. Here's Psalms 37, verse 3. Says, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Have you ever been to the place where I don't know what I'm going to do now? You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. We've been there when we don't know how to pay our bills, where it's going to come from. We've been in desperate situations. And I'm sure you all have times when you just don't know what you're going to do next. You feel like you're in a corner somewhere. Here is a promise. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. In Mark 9:23, he talks about unlimited blessings. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I thought so much about that verse right there, that about when we say, I don't have the abilities to do that. I can't do that. Let somebody else do that. I can't go witness house to house. I don't know what to say. Right, we've all been there, right? What does it say right here? Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We need to stand on that promise too. Amen. We need to put it to fruition. Is that right?
Fruition.
Dang it. Okay. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatever things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And that's not talking about using prayer like a rabbit's foot. Oh, I wish. No, that is a sincere prayer for something to go on. Debbie and I has went through this for the last 6 months about job situations. Same with Amanda. And I'm sure everybody has had their own issues that they went to prayer for. Trust Him and ask for Him, not to give it your way, but to give it what's best for His way. Luke chapter 17, verse 6 says, and the Lord said, if he had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. And the note I wrote beside of that verse is, shut this door. Ask God to shut this door or open this door, whatever it might be. Because I'm willing to go through the doors. Are you willing to go through the doors? Do you trust in the promises of God enough this morning to step through them doors? And you ask Him, just show me the door. Show me which door, or shut it. Another promise is divine sonship, found in John chapter 1, verse 12. Says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Do you have confidence that if you're a Christian, if you've asked Jesus into your life, if you've accepted the shed blood of Christ, if you've accepted the gift from God unto salvation, that you are considered a son? Wow. That is a promise. Eternal life. John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, as put on the cross. 3:15 says, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we go on to always say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. Are you standing on that promise? Are you standing on, because we're so confident about Christmas. We've all got plans. We bought gifts. We've done this. We've done that. We've decorated. We've done all kinds of things. Watched all the movies and done all that. We're standing on that promise. But are we standing on the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? We got to take all the promises that He gave us very serious. John chapter 6, verse 35, spiritual fullness, says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." Do you feel full? I remember feeling so empty and when I had so much. I remember a good friend of mine's dad. And he had a good business. He had lots of material stuff. But I remember him saying one day, he said, "Man, if I have me a big black Cadillac, I'll be happy." I hope that's nobody here this morning. Because that man never got that Cadillac. And that man is passed on. That's the reality of it. We got to put our trust in the promises of things that are real. Things that are fulfilling. Like the joy that we can only get from a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing materialistic about joy in your heart here today. I remember I could think of many things that I thought would satisfy me and bring me much joy until God took me to a place where I realized that there is no joy in this world. There is no joy in Christmas without Jesus. There is no joy in life without Jesus. We get caught up in so many different things that will leave us hanging. Those cars will break down on us. Those fancy, super nice cars that we just gotta have. We'll end up in a crusher. You thought I was going to the Tin Building, didn't you? That's a whole other sermon in its own. Okay, I'm just about done here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Now think about your salvation. Think about what you've done to get saved. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Think of the promise of His saving grace. We've got just a couple more. I'm going to go to John chapter 14. Now, these are red letters right here, folks. He's speaking directly to each and every one of us right here this morning. Yeah, maybe this was written down years ago, but God's word is endless. God's power is endless. God's authority is endless. This word will endure all generations. This word is speaking to us here this morning. This word is talking directly to each and every one of you here this morning. I pray you'll listen. I pray you'll hear. I pray we'll respond to what He says. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." I hear a lot of, "I believe in God," but I hear a lot of, "That's as far as it goes." They don't believe in Jesus. They don't accept Jesus. They are not committed to Jesus. "Let not your heart be troubled." Hear the word of God this morning. "Let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You. We got to take this. This is a personal promise from Jesus Christ Himself directly to you and you and you and you this morning. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," what a promise. What a promise. He didn't prepare a place for us and hope that we got there. He didn't prepare a place to rent out. He prepared a place. He says, "I will come again." Do you believe He's coming again? What a promise. He came once. We believe He came once. We celebrate Christmas. We believe He came once. Do we believe He's coming again? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And I can't help but think right there. And it's not me running to Him to wrap my arms around Him. Because when He receives, I see Him running to me and wrapping His arms around me. That's how much He loves you this morning. That is a promise that we got to stand on this morning. That's the promise that we got to accept this morning. Like you know, we take Christmas for granted. But you know, that was a promise at some time. And this promise is just a promise of another time that will come true, that will happen. I'm going to close right here. Right here. And this is the pinnacle. This is the pinnacle of His promise. His promise. This is the pinnacle. Listen, this is the pinnacle of the promise that happened on Christmas morning, on the day that Jesus was born. In Revelation chapter 21, going to read verses 1 through 5. We've heard this many times, but I hope you hear it this morning, knowing that it is a promise directly to you. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Do you have tears? Have you had tears in your eyes? I have. Things that get in my way. Things that hamper my relationship with God. There'll be no more tears. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is done. This is over. This environment we live in today, I was thinking about that during the Sunday school meeting. They're talking about the millennial reign. It'll be a whole different environment that we live in. And I mean not as the air and the trees and what have you, but in the social environment. All the hate, all the lies, all the cheating, all the stealing, all this and that and drugs and addictions and this and all that. What a promise. What a promise. And He that sat upon the throne... Listen, He that sat upon the throne will be in the very presence. Behold, it said, "Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful." And the book of Revelation is a promise of what's to come. Now, we got to get to where we can accept the promises of God that are coming, as much as we have accepted the promises of God that's past. You want to come get a song, Belinda?